Well, hello, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if you're watching us this morning, this is absolutely live right now at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's so good to have everyone here. In fact, if you're watching right now, I feel like I'm kind of doing a little, I'm going to show my age here a little bit. Remember Romper Room? Do you guys remember Romper Room? And the lady who said, I see Billy and I see Susie and I see, you know, she was naming all these names of people. Certainly we know that wasn't happening, but actually in this case, I do see Dolores and Kirk and Lois. And if you want to sign on right now, if you want to give me a little hello, I'll mention your name as we're going along. I see Joyce Scroban. Good to see you, Joyce. Samantha Kay, it's good to see you. I see the little heart emoji that you're giving. And said, please sign on. Let me know. Marianne, hi. How are you doing today? So good to have you on as well. You know, we're still the church, whether we are gathering physically or whether we're gathering virtually. Now, you know, there's a lot of underground churches right now that are actually meeting all across the world in different ways in communist countries. They're still the church. They support one another in times of need, and also they use wisdom in their gatherings. And so that's really what we're doing here today. We're living in some strange times, for sure, aren't we? I just want to tell you, we have about 10 people at our church who are dealing right now with this new Delta variant, this new contagion that's out there. It's a little more contagious. In fact, they say it's a lot more contagious. So we have about 10 people from our church that are dealing with it. Also, just want you to know, Bob and Michelle Sandler are district superintendents from the state of South Carolina. They are right now struggling with the coronavirus, this new variant, and their bookkeeper there at the office there in Columbia. Also, there's a youth pastor in Merle's Inlet at an Assembly of God church there that is dealing with it. And then there's a daughter from a pastor of Assembly of God Church in Fort Mill that's dealing with it. Certainly Pastor Joseph is coming out of it. And I just want you to just pray for these people. In fact, we are going to be doing this in just a few moments. So, you know, we've canceled services before due to inclement weather here at Faith. But it's really kind of the same approach here as what we're doing. We're canceling it not due to inclement weather, but due to a new pandemic strain. So I'm guessing this is probably the new normal going forward. We were really looking forward to today's service, but later in the week it got, the more we saw the wisdom to keep everyone at home this week. So please, I just want to encourage you guys to use wisdom going forward as our nation and really as our church is facing a spike in this this new strain, this little more struggling, a little more virulent strain. So we intend to reschedule our services, our outdoor services, and our baptism, and our cookout fellowship, and our car wash, and all of that. But for now, we are meeting here. So Johnny Clark, good to see you, brother. I noticed the Copes are signing in. Other people, if you want to keep signing in, I'll acknowledge you and just please let me know you're with us, okay? But let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you today that we can come together virtually and do what we did a lot last year, but we're trying to use wisdom here today, Lord God, in keeping ourselves socially distanced so that we can let this virus kind of run through its course and not really touch our church any more than it has. So we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you've given us, but also the opportunity that we can come together to worship you. And we do worship you today. We worship you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this gathering. And I pray, God, that as we've set this time aside for the next few minutes, that Holy Spirit, you'd minister to our hearts, speak to us, Lord God, a word that'll change our lives forever. We thank you that we can come together and revolve ourselves around your word. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you make your word come alive to us and minister to our hearts. And Lord God, we pray for each one that is struggling right now, that is struggling with sickness. Lord, you know who they are. And there's people that are watching here today that maybe have friends and family. They're aware of struggles that they're going through. And Father, whether it's the coronavirus or whether it's some other issue, we pray, Lord God, for your healing power to course through their veins, that you'd protect them, Lord God, that you'd watch over them. And Lord God, we come against the enemy and his plans to try to disrupt, to try to destroy, and we take authority in the name of Jesus over every plan that the enemy would have, and we bind them, we wrap them up, and we cast them aside. We take authority over them, and we declare your plans and your purposes to be accomplished in and through this church, in and through your church, and there's no virus, there's no plan of the enemy that will succeed. And we thank you, Lord God, for the good reports that we're going to be getting from those at our church and those that we know that are being impacted and not doing well. God, that you'd heal them and that they would turn the corner and that they would come out of this. And we're going to give you the glory and we're going to give you the praise for it. Now again, be with us in this time together. And we thank you, Jesus, for your anointing, for your word, for the body of Christ, that we can come together like this and encourage one another. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, Faye, it's good to see you. And Jim, it's good to see you as well. And those of you, the rest of you, that if you keep, you know, signing in here, let me know and we'll keep acknowledging you. I'll try not to be too distracted by this as we look at God's word. But let's begin today by asking the question, and you might see this in the title of the video here, but what is the church? What is the church? Well, there's four different things. As I was really putting this message together a few days ago, and this was before we made the decision to bring it in online here today. So I was really planning on talking to a lot of folks, you know, in the church parking lot and having the Spanish church come and join us and all that. So I want you to just imagine, if you will, us together, and we have the Spanish church with us, and you're looking around at everybody seated and maybe in their cars and all of that. So just imagine that rather than where you are right now, just imagine you're in the church or in the body of Christ. I want to talk to you for a second about what the church is. The first thing that I believe the Lord gave me was that the church is an imperfect church. Benjamin Franklin, he's a writer, scientist back in the 1700s. He was an inventor, a statesman, a diplomat, a printer, a publisher, a political philosopher. The man was a high achiever. And he had this quote that was attributed to him. And I want you to listen to this. It says, "I conceived the bold and arduous project of arriving at moral perfection. I wished to live without committing any fault at any time. I would conquer all that either natural inclination, custom, or company might lead me into. As I knew or thought I knew what was right or wrong, I did not see why I might not always do the one and avoid the other. But I soon found I had undertaken a task of more difficulty than I had imagined." That's quite a goal. What his idea was, certainly, was to just live a life every day without sin, to do things right all the time, and to never do anything wrong. Now, we know that that's impossible. He obviously never read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, which says, "Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. None has ever existed except for Jesus Christ." Here's the fact of it. Any and all churches consist of imperfect people. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We're all sinners, the Bible says, and those who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ are saved by his grace, by his finished work on the cross alone. Now, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved, not through faith, and it's not from yourselves, but it's the gift of God, not by your works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So if you're looking for a perfect church today, if in your life you've pursued looking for a perfect church, then guess what? You'll be searching in vain, because there is no such animal. There is no perfect church. But if you're looking for a place where you can be loved and embraced and cared for and challenged and given hope and help to see you through your challenges, temptations, and frustrations that we all face at one time or another, then you might want to give Faith Assembly a try. Because as you hang around people who love Jesus, who genuinely love him, and genuinely care for you, who are imperfect in all of it, who's going to mess up. They're going to disappoint at times. They're going to act selfish at times. They're going to be immature at times. They're going to hurt your feelings at times, you know, like you do to others because you're not perfect either. Well, but those who are not going to give up on you, on the other hand, those who are going to stick up for you, those who are going to make sure you're okay when times get tough, when you're sick, they're going to be there. They're going to stick with you because you're family and that you're loved, because that's what family does. As you hang around that, you'll find purpose and you'll find peace and you'll find that you found your place, because you'll find Jesus. You know, there are no Benjamin Franklins at our church. There are no perfect people, just hopefully believable, non-hypocritical people who love Jesus. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But that confession of our faith comes the next thing that we can understand about what a church is, and that's this, that we are sanctified. Now, sanctified is kind of a big spiritual word. If you're taking notes, write down that word sanctified and let me give you a definition for what that is. Sanctified just simply means that we're set apart from the rest of the crowd to be like Jesus. We're just set apart to be like Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine for me just a moment this giant iceberg. Now, you know what an iceberg is. An iceberg where you see the top of it is above the ocean, the water, but then the vast majority of it is below. Now, the process of sanctification can be compared to an iceberg, which is almost like 90% underwater. Most of the iceberg is underwater. But as the sun shines on the iceberg, the exposed part melts and it moves the lower part upward. You see, in the same way, we're usually aware of only a small part of our sinfulness and our need, which is all we can deal with at any one given time. However, as the light of God's work in our lives changes us in the areas that we know about, we become aware of new areas needing the work of God. And that is the best word picture that I can give you for what sanctification is. You know, we don't consider ourselves better than anyone else. We know that we're a messed up people. But when we place our faith in Jesus, something remarkable happens, because Jesus in us makes us more like him a little at a time. And as we give him permission to take our mess, he'll then make a message out of it. Isn't that good to know? That way that we can help others along the way who are also a mess. You know, anyone in your life, or is anyone listening to me, that maybe you're a mess? You know, as we journey down the road with Jesus in our hearts, he melts away a little at a time the stuff that needs dealing with. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's stuff in your life, there's stuff in my life that constantly needs that melting away. But we need to give Jesus permission to do what we know needs done. And as we do, he makes us more like him in our words, in our thoughts, and in our deeds. 2 Timothy 2, verses 21 through 22 describes it this way. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the dishonorable, from the disobedient, from the sinful things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and set apart for a special purpose, and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Run away then from youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those believers who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, today I want to encourage you. I want to remind you that Jesus has a special and unique plan for your life that doesn't look a thing like any other person that you may know. Because you're not them, and they are not you. And God made you unique and special because he has a unique and special plan to perform in you and through you. He takes your talents. He takes your passions. He even takes your past, your experiences. He takes even your hurts and your struggles. He takes your personality. He takes your connections and your hobbies and your material things and everything that represents you, and directs them for your good and for His glory, as He sanctifies you, as He sets you apart, as He makes you more like Jesus to accomplish your unique assignment in Him. So let me encourage you today to flee all of that stuff that would keep you from God's plan for you and pursue Christ in a daily loving relationship out of a pure heart. It will blow your mind what He has in store for you as you do, which leads us to the third thing that the church is, and that is that we are diverse. Now, there's a lot of people that are watching here right now, and I can tell you right now that there's a lot of folks that are in this church right now that are watching. Some are white, and some are black, and some are old, and some are young, and some are male, and some are female. And if that's one of you right now, if you're one of those diverse people in the church, I want you to give me a thumbs up right now. Just punch that little button and give me a thumbs up. Now, as you're doing that, how many of you like salad? Do you like salad? I love salad. But you know what the best kind of salad is? The best kind of salad is the one that has plenty of complementary ingredients. Now, you may like just plain old lettuce, but I got to tell you that plain old lettuce is a boring salad. But when you add different flavors and you add different colors and you add different textures, it makes for a really flavorful and enjoyable salad. How many of you give me a heart emoji if you like salad with a bunch of different stuff in it? Now, if we want to get the church right, we have to learn to see it as a salad that's in a bowl. It needs to be made right, of course, but for a good salad, it's a fellowship of different tastes. It's a fellowship that's all mixed together, and it's mixed together with the olive oil of God's love accentuating the taste of each one. You know, the earliest churches were made up of folks from all over the social map, but they formed a fellowship of different tastes. It was a mixed salad of the best kind. A recent study concluded that the Apostle Paul, if he had a house church, it would be composed of about roughly 30 people, and this would have been approximately their makeup. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but back some, 2,000 years ago, they met in homes, and it wasn't, like what we're experiencing now. But let me tell you exactly what maybe that particular group of people would have looked like. There would have been a craft worker who owned the house, and they would have been meeting in his house along with his wife and children. Now, that seems fairly normal. But also, that particular craft worker would have had a couple of male slaves. He would also have had a female domestic slave. He probably would have had a dependent relative or two. He would have had some tenants with families and slaves and dependents on their own who were also living in the same home, maybe in rented rooms in that home. And also, there might have been a few migrant workers that would have joined him. There might have been also some Jewish folks that would have joined him. And perhaps there might have even been an enslaved prostitute. Now, this was a study that was given as to what would have consisted of that home group back in the day. Men and women, children, citizens, freed slaves, and slaves who had no legal rights, Jews and Gentiles, people from all moral walks of life, people from elite classes and all the way down the social scale, perhaps even to the homeless people and even a prostitute or two. Now, that's quite a salad. And in that salad mixture that changed, it was that salad mixture, folks, that not only changed the world, but continues to change the world today. I am so thankful as you look around the churches, as you look around at Faith Assembly, you look at the different colors of skin, you look at the rainbow of the body of Christ and all that it contributes to the beauty, which is God's kingdom. We look at the different ages and stages of life that are represented at Faith. We have young and old, we have men and women, red, yellow, black, white, different financial statuses, different marital statuses, different sizes, different shapes. It's a beautiful, diverse salad, and you better get used to it. If you think heaven is going to be just lettuce, you better think again. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Did you hear that? They came from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. You know, there ain't going to be no white section in heaven over there. And there ain't going to be no black section in heaven over there. And there ain't going to be no Hispanic section of heaven over there. And there's not going to be an Asian section of heaven over there. Nope. We're all going to be a beautiful heavenly salad, a beautiful tapestry, standing shoulder to shoulder around God's throne with one voice declaring the glory and the greatness of our one colorblind God who died for every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. So we better get used to it here. Let's rub shoulders with and get to know the others who aren't the same as us, because a diverse salad is so much more enjoyable than just plain old lettuce. Would you agree? If you agree, let me have you type into the comment section, amen. Which brings us to the next description of what the church is. We are called. Now, there was this young salesman who was disappointed about losing a big sale. And as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented, well, I guess it just proves that you can't lead a horse to water, that you can lead a horse to water, but you just can't make him drink. And the manager replied to him, your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. So it is with evangelism, brothers and sisters. Our lives should be so filled with Christ that they create a thirst for the gospel. As we were challenged last week, our profession of faith needs to be believable. When people take account of our lives, as we said last week, I'll say it again today. When people take account of our lives, our words are pennies, but our actions are dollars. As people see us in our struggles, in our temptations, in our difficult times, and we keep the faith, we stay true to our walk with Christ and not let these things cause us to turn away from Jesus, but instead press in all the more. Let me tell you something. When we do that, people take notice. They get thirsty. They want what you have. Our lives lived in Christ preach infinitely more than any words that we might say. We know this scripture well. Mark 16:15 says that Jesus actually said this to his disciples. He says it to us today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. And you probably heard this before too, but I'm going to add it to it. It says, and I'm going to say this, and use words whenever necessary. In other words, let's preach the gospel with the way that we live. Let's preach the gospel and how we respond to pressures and situations and struggles and temptations and other things that would come our way, because people are watching. And sometimes we can use words, but our actions are going to speak much louder than words, because our actions are dollars and our words are pennies. You know what, church? We are God's plan A. And also we're God's plan B. And in fact, we're his plan all the way from A to Z. Because God has no other plan but the church. So let's live our lives in such a way that people see us and become thirsty for what we are drinking, and that's the living water of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, let me encourage you today. Take a sip, take a gulp, take a large drink of the living water of Jesus Christ, and let that living water course through your veins and act out before people the life of Christ. Amen? Amen. Which leads me to our final description of what the church is. And the church is the bride of Christ. Now, there was this young man who was returning home to be married. And he came sooner than was expected. He didn't notify his bride-to-be at the exact time. He desired to please her with a surprise. He loved her devotedly and had worked hard and saved his earnings in order to purchase a home for her. It was about midnight when he came home and he arrived, but with a happy heart, he felt like he must go by her home to greet her. However, when he came near her to the house, he saw that all the lights were on. And as he came even nearer, he heard some music. And in fact, as he came up to the house, he heard some, he saw some dancing. And finally, he looked through the window and he saw that his bride-to-be was in the embrace of another man. His heart sank within him and he went away, never to return. So I want to ask you a question today. If Jesus were to come today, would he find, what would he find of his professed bride? What would he find you doing? What would he find you doing? Would he be finding you waiting for him? Would he find you being dedicated to him? Or would you be in the embrace of something that the world has to offer? Would you be dancing with the world? Listen, Jesus is coming very soon for his bride, for the church. And I believe it could be any day. I believe it could any moment. It could even be today that Jesus could return. You may not know, you may have not heard about this once in all of human history event that is getting ready to take place, but let me just describe it for just a moment. It's called the rapture. And one day soon, the Bible declares an event that's going to turn the world upside down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52 says it this way. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. You know, one day on a day just like today, folks, people will be about their normal routines when Jesus is going to show up and he's going to catch his bride away, the church. We will join him in heaven for all of eternity. And Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9, talks about what we're going to be doing. It gives us a highlight. It says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then he added, these are the true words of God. And then the Bible talks about those who are left behind will experience the worst time that this world has ever known. The Bible calls it the Great Tribulation. Evil is going to be unleashed. Worldwide destruction will occur. Billions will die in just a few years. And disease, starvation, and chaos will be absolutely everywhere. It's inescapable. Starting next week, if we're still here, I'll begin to unpack these end times events as it relates to the seven Jewish feasts, and you will not want to miss this series. But if we don't make it to next week, I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to go up in the rapture? If not, then let's get you ready. Jesus extends an invitation to you today. If you're watching, I want you to listen to this invitation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 is speaking to you today. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. You know what? This gift is free. The price has already been paid by Jesus, who died for your sins and for mine. Remember, we're all imperfect. We've all sinned. So you're in really good company today. I want to encourage you today to give your life to Christ and to let him begin to work in you all of his goodness and to help you, to sanctify you. And along with this precious body of believers here at Faith Assembly, as we gather together, for all of us to be all that he has uniquely planned for you and I to be. God has a plan for your life. I want to encourage you today to join the diverse group, which is the church. Add to our diversity. We need you. We'd love to have you. Let's do life together. Let's grow in Christ. Jesus is coming soon. The bride of Christ is going to be taken away. And I'm so glad to be part of the body of Christ. I'm so glad to be in the church. If you're glad to be in the church, give me a thumbs up. Give me a heart emoji. Give me something that tells me that you're glad to be in the church. Give me a comment right now. Leave it right now with me. If you're glad to be in the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you want to join this church, if you want to join the Church of Jesus Christ, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, I want to wrap this up by praying with you right now. And I want you to repeat these words after me. I want you to pray these words after me. And when you pray, the Bible says, and you pray these words, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is God's Son, then you will be saved. I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. And would you pray with me this prayer? Jesus, I'm so thankful that you died for my sins. And I realize that I am an imperfect person. And I'll never be perfect, but I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I pray, Jesus, that you forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. Forgive me today of all my unrighteousness and help me to live a life going forward that's pleasing to you. I pray, Jesus, that you would walk with me, that you talk with me, that you'd sanctify me, make me more like you every day in what I say, in what I think, in what I do. I pray, Jesus, that you would help me to be part of a church where I can learn and fulfill my unique assignment in you. I praise you, Jesus, that I'm now saved and I'm going to heaven. And I pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer and you believed it in your heart, the Bible says you're saved. And I want you to reach out to me. Reach out to us here at Faith Assembly. Let us know the decision that you made for Christ today. If you feel like that this message, by the way, those of you who are watching, would be helpful to some of your friends on Facebook, please share this link with others. Just pass it on. It's about a 30-minute video here that you'll be sending them and encourage them to watch this. Now, in the meantime, I want to encourage the rest of you, spend time in God's Word, spend time in prayer, spend time walking with Him and growing in Him. And I'm so thankful for you. Kelly and I love you so much and we miss you today. We're sorry that we had to do what we did today, but we did it for the betterment and for the protection of our church. I want you guys to use wisdom this week and just keep yourself socially distanced and let this new strain kind of pass by. And I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your life today and this week. Use wisdom, you know. Don't get all isolated and scared, but don't go out and lick a doorknob either, as I've said before. Just use some wisdom in this, all right? All right, well, we'll see you next Sunday. We'll let you know as we get closer to next week if we're going to meet in-house or we're going to do this again. We're just keeping our finger on the pulse here, okay? So please keep us in your prayers. Keep the rest of the congregation in your prayers. And we'll let you know what it's going to look like next Sunday as we get further in the week, all right? Lord bless you. Go out now and be the church and shine the light of Christ to those that you may come in contact with. God bless you and we love you and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.